guys ready to talk to me for a while?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, so, favorite thing about Christmas. And go, what's your favorite thing about Christmas?
Presents.
Yes, presents. Okay.
Getting to celebrate Jesus' birthday.
How do you celebrate Jesus' birthday?
Because the wise men give him gifts and about the star and the angel.
Uh-huh.
Because Jesus got born.
And he also came back to life.
He did also come back to life. Jesus coming to earth as a baby is Christmas, and Jesus rising again is Easter.
Easter. It is not Easter. I am getting the Easter.
We're talking about Christmas.
Style over.
What does God with us mean?
He means that he cares for us.
He cares for us?
He takes care of us.
Takes care of us. Are you giving her the answer?
No.
You think
giving us presents.
Giving you presents? That's God with us?
That not.
Well, in a way, it is. You know what the best Christmas present is? See if you can think
pulling
of the best.
Putting on your underpants.
Putting on the underpants.
Putting on the underpants, yes. On the count of three, everybody change chairs. One, two, three. Perfect. Okay, so tell me something else about the Christmas story that you know. Who was there when Jesus was born?
Mary!
Joseph!
And the wise men.
And the wise men!
And the fairies!
And the fairies.
The angels!
And the angels?
Jesus!
And Jesus was there. Who else was there?
The other God!
They actually talked about Jesus' underpants in the Bible. He says that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which is
underpants.
Like baby underpants. All right. What do you think the best Christmas present is?
God.
That is
God.
God.
He's the best Christmas present? How is God the best Christmas present?
He saved us from sinning.
He saved us from sinning?
He saved us from worshiping the bad.
From worshiping the bad? When we think about God being with us, how is Christmas God being with us as a present? Who came to be with us on Christmas?
God.
Who in particular?
God.
Jesus. Right, Jesus is with us. And that means that not only is Jesus with us with Christmas, but Jesus is with us all the time in all kinds of stuff in our life.
Now, if those are the actual pieces of footage that we chose to use, I can only imagine how fantastic the outtakes are from that film session. One of the most meaningful and powerful parts of the Christmas story is the story. You heard it read here from the Gospel of Matthew and also Luke. The incarnation of God is what we're talking about here. Just means God in the flesh. God becoming a man in the form of baby Jesus. And so I want to take a minute to tell you a different story that's not the Christmas story to maybe help us wrap our minds a little bit more around the significance of the birth and then the life of Jesus. The story goes like this. A team of Navy SEALs, and those are like the special forces guys in the military, was sent into a hostile territory to rescue a large number of American citizens who had been held hostage for several months, okay? We don't know all the details, but from what I can gather, this group of Navy SEALs arrived. There was an aircraft carrier. They got in a helicopter. They flew into the compound. They storm into the room where their intelligence says that the American prisoners were located, and they were right. The room was dark. But it was dirty. The prisoners were kind of huddled together in the corner, and the SEALs could feel the fear in the room. They could sense the cowering in the corner of these American citizens. And so they sort of stood by the door, waiting and watching, and then finally one of them kind of called out. I imagine he said something like this, "We're Americans. We're here to save you. Come with us." and nothing. The hostages would not budge. They sat there on the floor. They hid their eyes. They had been in prison for so long, they just didn't know if they could trust that this was really a rescue. They weren't really sure. And so the SEALs, the soldiers stood there again, not knowing what to do. And finally, one of the soldiers put down his gun, and he took off his helmet, and he unstrapped his gear from his side and put it on the ground, and he began to slowly walk toward the huddled prisoners on the ground. And he kept getting a little bit closer, very, very cautious. And finally, when he got to them, he came and he sat right in between where they were and just sort of huddled in close so that they could feel the shoulders on either side, that he was just going to be there present with them. And he just sat in silence and waited until he could feel a little bit more warmth. And then he kind of slowly turned his head toward the person next to him until the one person that was closest to him would meet his glance. And he waited a little bit longer and he said, "We were Americans. We're here to save you. Come with us." And then he stood up. And as he stood up, he started to walk towards the door. You guys can stay right here. And one of the hostages stood up after him, and then another, until all of them were willing to follow him out into a life of freedom. Now, when you have been a slave to sin for a long time, it can be difficult, I think, to believe that your Savior is a trustworthy one. And that's why I'm so thankful for Jesus and for this season, because Jesus became one of us, Emmanuel, God with us, in order to save us and to lead us to a life of freedom. He entered the room, not with guns blazing, but with arms out wide. And he said, "I'm here to save you. Come with me. You can trust me." That's what we heard here in the readings today. That's what we celebrate on Christmas, is the withness of God in the form of Jesus. Now, why is that important? Well, the incarnation, God becoming flesh of Jesus, was not just a single point in time. It continued for the rest of Jesus' life, and it continues on to this day. Let me show you real quick. We're going to look at four little verses in John chapter 20. And just a quick spoiler alert, I'm giving away a little bit of the Easter message here too. But that's okay. John chapter 20, verse 19 says this. On the evening of that day, and the that day they're talking about is the Monday after the Friday when Jesus had been crucified. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, that Monday, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And so what had happened was the followers of Jesus had literally locked themselves in a room and were huddled together in fear because Jesus had been, they'd witnessed what had happened, and Jesus had been taken out and killed, and he was gone now, and they were afraid it was going to happen to them. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have anybody to follow anymore, and so they were scared to death, very much like the folks in the story huddled kind of in fear together. Jesus came and stood among them, Emmanuel, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. If you remember, he had wounds in his hands from the crucifixion and in his side from the spear. Then the disciples were glad. They rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And so they have sort of this moment where he steps into the room and they're kind of going, "Jesus, is that you? and they're able to see the wounds and hear his voice, and the recognition comes, and it's like, oh my gosh, you're alive. Jesus is alive, and they're just rejoicing together. The resurrected Jesus shows up in the midst of their doubt and their fear, and he says, see me, touch me, listen to me. I'm right here. This is my voice. This is me. Jesus is alive today. I have a relationship with Jesus. He is a living person. I spend time with him. I talk with him. I talk about him. I listen to him. He changes me. He comforts me. He encourages me. He's alive, and the disciples are glad. They rejoice. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, which had to have been strange, and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And in those two little verses, we see three blessings that come with a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're not the only three by any means, but they're the three that are mentioned here. And the first one is his presence, like we've been talking about here and then the last couple weeks in our series and as well. Jesus is in the room. He's in our lives, even in the hard places, especially, I think, sometimes in the hard places. He's present. He's in our hearts. He's closer than we often realize. It says that Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, which means the Spirit of God came and lived inside of them. He's that close, his presence. Then it talks about his peace. Twice Jesus says, peace be with you. And I think that's a great question around this time of the year. Do you have peace? Peace is freedom from oppressive thoughts or emotions. It's harmony in our relationships. It's contentment with God and with others in our lives. Do you have peace? See, when we're in Christ, we don't need to be huddled in fear. His presence calms, it comforts, it reassures, it becomes the presence of his peace in our lives, in our hearts. He comes and sits with us in our fear until we realize we can trust him, until we slowly stand up and walk out into a life of freedom. We have his peace, his presence, and then also it talks about his purpose. Jesus says, even as my Father has sent me, so now I am sending you. That's your purpose. Jesus came to be the presence of God in our lives, and now we get to go be the presence of God in the lives of others. And so God fuels us with his peace and fills us with his presence so that we can go live a life that serves and loves and represents and presents God to the people that we interact with on a regular basis, so that the world can kind of get a taste of that peace as well.